Dara, hi, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm well. You're a second year law student at UCC, but had to come up from Waterford and therefore needed to find somewhere to live. Did you get a house with a bunch of your mates?
Yeah, so basically, obviously, living away from home, we had to find accommodation for ourselves, and moving from first to second year, me and a group of friends decided that we'd move in together for the academic year. So we found rented accommodation, a house. There was nine of us in the house altogether.
Nine. So nine of you were paying something in the region of what, 150, 175 euro a week, was it?
I myself, yeah, was paying 175. The prices range from about the lowest was 125 share room. So there was two girls in that. They're paying 125 euro each a week for a shared room, all the way up to 175 euro a week, which is what I was paying.
Okay, so that must have been a reasonably big house to have nine bedrooms. Some of them were double shares in a room, others was a box room and probably an attic and stuff, was it?
Absolutely, you hit a bang on the head, yeah.
Okay, so what was the monthly rent when you total it all up? I'm just curious.
So to all together, from kind of beginning to end, we paid something like, I can get it up for you. We paid the market rent I have here is $1,390. We all paid each a security deposit of 500, and then on top of that, we paid a utilities cost deposit of 400 each.
Okay.
So 400 each by obviously nine was meant to cover the utilities for the entire year, and then we were told whatever we didn't spend basically in obviously heating and everything that we get back at the end of the year, which we're still waiting for.
Okay, but the 1390, what was that? That was the monthly rent for the entire house, was it?
That was the market rent for what, I'll get it up here now for you, for what it said in the contract. It was the market rent, but say if I did the maths myself, I was paying 700 euro a month, just me, so there it's off there. So I don't have the for per month, but it's 59,220 for the year.
59,000.
59,220 divided by 44. It was a 42-week contract. So a week, it was about 1.4. Between all of us, 1,410.
So it's more likely to be around 5 grand a month then.
Yeah. Okay. In and around, yeah.
Okay. And you were paying that, and you paid that in installments, did you?
You could pay it in installments. There was three separate plans that you could pay it in. You could pay it all together in one, so whatever the rent was for the entire year. Mine was close, nearly up to 8 grand, I think mine was. You can pay it all in one. You could pay it in two separate installments, one in September, August, in August, September, that region, and then one after Christmas.
Okay, but you all paid those and you were paid up and everything. There was no problems there.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Everyone paid in full, whether it was two installments or okay. the first one, everyone paid.
And it seems extraordinary to me that they said, you tell me that they said, under no circumstances were you to put the word rent anywhere on the bank transfers. Is that right?
Yeah, when we originally, I was kind of the point of contact for the landlords. I kind of found the house for everyone. I was the initial kind of person from it. And when we were talking about it, we had to pay. It was the beginning of it, and when we had to pay each, because I decided to pay the whole amount in one. I was told under no circumstances to put rent. Deposit, whatever the case, whatever I was paying, I only was told to put my name, so say for Dara Furlong, on the bank transfer.
And did you ask why you couldn't put down the word rent or deposit on the bank transfer?
At the time, no, because if I was being honest, like the pressure to get a house in and around UCC was just immense.
Okay.
Like it was crazy, and the fact that we found a nine-person house. It was nine of us. We found a nine house. It was on, you know, 5-minute walk from UCC.
Yeah, you didn't want to rock the boat. Yeah.
Exactly. At the time, it was like, oh, we're going good. We have it. You know, we have somewhere to live for the academic year. And when you're someone like me, you know, I live away from home, and I was going into, the year of it. Like, I was there. I was in Cork. I had my place in UCC. I had to find, you know, somewhere to live.
Yeah, I do. I'll put that question to them if I ever get to ask them the question as to why they said don't put rent on the transfer, because it sounds quite odd to me. Anyway, what was the house like? Was it furnished? Was it a nice house, a clean house?
It was, yeah. When we moved in, I was the second person to move in myself. One of the girls had placement, so she was there kind of before me. But when I moved in, it is a lovely house. Furnished like two couches in the sitting room, enough plates, bowls, kind of all that jazz.
Okay.
Small enough kitchen, but you know, you make do with kind of watching. It's a college house at the end of the day.
I understand that. And the college closed on the 13th of March. Huntry went down into lockdown, so you went back to your folks' house and everybody else went their separate ways. What happened then?
Yeah, absolutely. Pretty much on the Thursday when the Taoiseach announced that all the colleges were closing, every single one of us packed up. We left and moved kind of what we could in the either the buses we were taking home, or if some of us had a car, what we could fit in that one day. And we all headed home, and we kind of, you know, we came home, we sat around, we waited for the next point of action. And then when I asked, I was the first one to make contact again, and I said, you know, look, like, we're not going to be in this house. The Taoiseach has announced that they're not, you know, UCC emailed us saying that they're not going to open back up. The Taoiseach said that there'll be, you know, no social gatherings. So we knew that we were gone from the house. And I just said, look, is there any point of a refund? You know, are we able to get any money back? Even if we could get, say, hey, we're paying rent till the end of May. So even if we could get just May back, or even at the best case scenario, April and May. And we were told basically, absolutely not. Their exact words is they're operating as normal. And there was no way that anything could be done about it.
But they're not operating as normal if they say they're not taking phone calls and you can only contact them by email. That means that's not normal.
Absolutely, yeah. I tried to contact them over various issues.
Anyway, and they didn't answer the phone, is it? Or did they even respond to your emails?
Yeah, over many issues there was, I either had to send, say, 2-3 emails, because our original point of contact was an email. Like, that's when I first found the house. That's kind of all I knew. But then one of my other roommates had a number from whatever I was contacting about at the time. I think it took 2-3 emails within the space of, I think it was 3 emails over the space of 2 days even to get some sort of response. And then when I rang the number that I had for them, there was no answer. I think I must have rang it 2-3 times in the 2 days.
But you were paid up to the end of May and you were hoping for a refund. That didn't happen. And that's hard lines, I have to say. But then you got an email saying that you needed to bring in professional cleaners. Did you know anything about that when you rented the house?
No. Absolutely not. And I never heard of it either from, you know, friends and family going through kind of living away from home during college. I'd never heard of it. We got an email, Thursday evening, I think, or Friday afternoon, we got an email saying that the house has to be brought up to a standard of clean when we're returning, which we kind of anticipated. Like, we were going to have a plan of either one of us go up and we scrub down the house. We would never give the house back in an unreasonable state. That's not the type of people we are. And obviously there's general wear and tear I kind of anticipated for the house, but we were told that they wanted professional cleaners brought in to, you know, clean down the house. And we were told to get a receipt then from the cleaners and to forward that on to them, a kind of proof of whatever. And then our own landlords would go in and inspect the house or whatever. For every call then that they had to make about the house to do with the cleaning, there'd be a charge. And then if the house still wasn't up to their standards, they would then get their own professional cleaning company in and charge us against whatever deposit or whatever we had left.
Even if you produced a copy of a receipt to proof that there was deep cleaning done, they weren't happy with it, they would charge you on top of that to bring in other deep cleaners. And the average end of tenancy cleaning, they said, took between 30 and 45 hours. So you're expected to pay a deep cleaning company, whatever the rate per hour is, for 30 to 48 hours work, 45 hours work.
No, I was just going to say, and we did, and we tried to contact cleaners, and, you know, I think we messaged maybe 3 to 4, and we were all told, you know, no, like, they're not operating. They're only operating for essential services. We're only working on a limited basis. And the college house is certainly not at the top of their list. I think the closest date we could get was the 12th of June or something in and around that. And our lease is up the 31st of May. So you're kind of at a standstill then. Like, we're thinking, well, we can't meet their demand, but we also can't do it, you know?
So you have a deposit with them of around about 8 grand, do you?
We have a deposit of, let's get this up. We have a deposit each of €500 each
And the utilities is the 400. Okay, that's where I got the 8 grand. So it's more likely to be 4.5 grand deposit then. Okay, okay. So they say that if you don't get the deep cleaning done, you don't get your deposit back, and they'll also bill you for any of the cleaning work they have to do if they bring in a cleaning company. What's the business about? What is this? I mean, they talk about the bins and stuff like that, and leaving it in good order. I understand all of that, and the sheds and things, but what's this business about light bulbs?
Yeah, so we basically, when we were sent on an email, you know, kind of charges that we could rack up, there was kind of just charges that I would never even have guessed would have come into our play. Stuff like for every written email or any point of contact in terms of, say, rent arrears, we obviously didn't, but if there was, it would be €20 per email or per written text that they would charge us against the deposit. If there was, for example, a bin bag left out outside the bin, if we were putting out the bins or whatever, I think it was €200 if the bag was ripped. And then, like you were saying, the light bulbs, if they went in after we handed back the house and the light bulb gone, they were charging us €20 for sourcing labour and product replacement of the light bulbs.
No, I mean, let's be fair now. There is a sum involved, but it's not 20. It says, check all light bulbs and replace where necessary. Any that are found not to be working and that have not been replaced, we will charge €10 per bulb, source and labour costs. Am I right?
Oh, yeah, I have a 20 here, sorry.
Oh, well, if you have 20 in front of you, that's fine. I'm just looking at their... You see, what I did was I Googled this company, found the properties that they have, downloaded all of their terms and conditions. I don't know why you weren't ever sent any of this. And it's all there to see, end of tenancy information. But you weren't provided with any of that, no?
No, not... Well, not that I was... I mean, when we signed the lease, we kind of just anticipated it to be... like a bog standard kind of college lease, you know, no parties, no, you know, they keep the house, keep the house in good condition.
Did you have house parties?
No, we didn't. We never had any sort of antisocial behaviour. The guards were never called. The landlords were never called because neighbours complaining, absolutely nothing.
Good stuff. Did you have any things like cigarette burns on the carpets or knocks off furniture or broken beds or anything?
Absolutely not, no. Never throughout the year. General wear and tear from the house that, you know, kind of marks on the wall, that not like big marks that we can clean up, but general wear and tear, nothing that would ever need to be brought to the attention of the landlord, definitely not.
But a 30 to 45 hour deep clean at the rate of maybe 30 or 40 euro an hour, because that's what it will be per hour at least, that's an astronomical figure.
Yeah, we when we were looking into it, the prices, I think it was coming up at about 50 to 60 euro each between the nine of us that the companies wanted. So whatever, the companies were kind of just asking, you know, how many bedrooms, the floor space, whatever.
But you're not going to get 450 euro isn't going to buy you 30 to 45 hours deep clean.
No, yeah, absolutely not. I don't know what way they wanted it, but clearly they're standards, they were just unreasonable. We just can't meet them.
And what are you going to do next? I mean, are you like, you can't get a company to clean it because they're not working. Your lease is up at the end of May. They're holding your deposit, etc., etc. What's the next step? Are you going to have to find the money? Are your parents going to have to? Are you going to forfeit the deposit?
We don't know, to be honest with you. We're still kind of all, we're thinking about it. We're just. Like you were saying, we're kind of at a standstill. We don't know where to go. So that's why we're just trying to get, even if any of your listeners can give us any advice or whatever we can do, just get the word out there that, you know, this is going on and this is happening.
Because we
don't know what to do.
Yeah. See, what I don't know is whether this is standard amongst companies that let houses to insist on these kind of requirements upon vacating. You're telling me that it's not now. It's not normal.
Well, in my opinion, no. You know, I've had cousins gone through in and around, like I've had cousins go through UCC, live away from home. I've never heard of any landlord expecting their tenants, as a student anyway, to get in a professional cleaning company. It could be, like you were saying, it could be a very common thing for these companies who do let it out, but personally, I've never heard of it. It seems unreasonable to me that they'd expect a group of college students to get in a professional cleaning company.
I think you're right in that regard. However, the stories that I have heard on air, though, are somewhat different to it in the sense that I've heard of students, some of them have gone in, wrecked the gaff, left and forfeited their deposit, and they were happy with that, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I don't doubt that there is. And there is students out there that, you know, go in into the house and they have for the year and they throw parties and this and that. And it goes up. And then at the end of the year, the poor landlord is left with a wreck of a house and they're forced then to get in professional cleaners and to fix what the damage is done. But if it's the people like us that are genuine, you know, we were good tenants, like I was saying to you, we never had any issues, that I don't see why there would be a need to take it to this level, you know?
Okay, so what will you do? What's your intention?
We genuinely don't know at the minute. Okay. At the minute, we're trying to get the cleaning company in to meet the demand, but like I was saying, it doesn't look like it. So okay. At the minute, where maybe when the restrictions are lifted a bit, even if one of us can get up and we just try and meet somewhat of a standard, if we get, you know, a little bit of the deposit or whatever the case may be, we don't think we're ever going to be able to meet the standard. So we have to do something.
Let's see if there are other people in a scenario similar to yours. And indeed, are you aware of any other students who also have had to pay for March, April, May, and perhaps even June that aren't getting refunds, or maybe some of them are getting refunds?
Well, as far as I know, no houses. I know that the UCC accommodations, I think some of them have given some of the rent back. But any of my friends or anyone that I know up in Cork living away, none of their landlords gave them April or May. And I know people who are who pay month to month, their landlords did contact them after, say, for April and May's rent, and they were obviously obliged to pay because that was the contract that they
signed. Okay, well, let's throw it out there and get some information from other people listening. I also will endeavour to contact the company and ask them some questions as to, you know, what's the story, what happens next, if this is normal procedure. And we'll see what happens, okay?
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, you don't need this because you're in the middle of exams and everything, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. When we received the email, one of the girls was actually in an online exam at the time, and I'd say her stress just went through the roof. Yeah.
And you're a second year law. What does your law studies tell you should happen now?
Well, it's funny enough, everyone asks me that. All the roommates have been turned to me, and I just keep saying, you know, I don't know, I'm still a student. We need bigger voices than my own, but if we can get the word out a little bit, I suppose we can move it a bit forward.
Okay,
but at the minute, I have no idea.
Okay, well, you're honest in your answer. It's out there now. Let's see if we can get some other people's stories and perhaps even lucky enough to get a response from the company. Thanks for now, Dara. I'll be back to you.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me on.
Dara Long, Waterford lad doing law in UCC.